We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, everyone? What is going on? What's up, everybody? And welcome in to the Backliners podcast. It's brought to you by Prize Picks. It's Aggro and Barracuda as per usual. And today we're joined by the savior of Smite himself, the one and only Ro. Ro, thanks so much for taking off the cape.
The problem was ADCs were winning the battle for the longest time. And now finally a solo laner is here to save the day. I mean, ADC is by far the best role. You know,
yeah.
As a humble tank player myself,
Right. Yeah,
we're just so good every
meta. It's been 10 years of that. Yeah.
Well, this is. I'm gonna go. You guys can hash out, and I'll see
in
you guys
counseling
later.
Or
yeah, exactly. No BetterHelp sponsor this episode. Ro, former SPL coach. Before that, competitive player in the OCE leagues. Joined the customer support team, then went to QA, and now most recently has joined the design team. And before we get into the 11.4 patch notes and some fun stuff that came through there, I just kind of wanted to talk to you, Ro, about what your professional journey has been like, really at Hi-Rez in particular, but also including, you know, we've had you on the show before, we've talked about your coaching career, all that kind of stuff. Was this always the you know, obviously this isn't the end goal, that this is, you know, where the buck stops, but is this where you wanted to end up when you initially thought about joining Hi-Rez? Did you want to join design?
I mean, sure, it's always sounded cool, but like
it wasn't for me.
I never had a plan like that. No, I just, for the last, I don't know, since before I joined the SPL, I've just been like, oh, that sounds fun, I'll do that, and maybe I'll do it for a year, and every year it's just been like doing that. And obviously, you know, the joining Hi-Rez was more long term than looking forward for a year, but like when I was moving from Australia to join the SPL on LAN in season 7, was it 6? I can't remember.
6 was the first one. No.
Yeah. Yeah, season 5 was the last.
Yes,
yeah,
season 6.
It was 6. Yeah. And I was like 3 years max probably.
Yep.
And I'm married, like I bought a car here. Literally Saturday just gone, I got my permanent residency, so I have my 10-year visa, so I can be here for as long as I want now. Well, 10 years, but
as long as I could possibly a number I couldn't fathom, 10.
Exactly. Yeah. That's as many fingers I have. That's a lot, right? So But that gives me enough time to get like a citizenship, so I'm here, right? So yeah, it's just been, I don't know, every step of the way an opportunity pops up. If it sounds interesting, I'll take it. If it doesn't sound interesting, I won't. And I've been doing that since since like 20. So I've just been kind of vibing along the way, and Smite's been a part of that the whole way. So it's just been natural, really.
Yeah. So you join Hi-Rez to do customer support. That's where you initially started.
And so many people are like, and especially now that I've moved on twice, they're like, oh, that's just a stepping stone. And a lot of people do see that in a stepping stone kind of way in the gaming industry, but it wasn't me. Like, I didn't do that. When I interviewed for that position, I had multiple interviews, but when I was interviewing with the manager at the time, I told her I was going to take her job. Like, I told her I'm gonna stay in customer support and I'm gonna grow in the role and eventually I'm gonna take your job. You know, maybe she would have moved on by then. Alpha. I don't know.
Yeah, well, like, we gotta hire this guy. He's an alpha.
Yeah, I was just showing that I wanted to excel in that role. I wasn't just like customer support and then dip to whatever else is more interesting. Like, no, I'll make customer support interesting, right. Which I did. It was a fun time. It was definitely hard at times. That team does not get enough thanks for the work that they do.
Nope.
And then, yeah, I moved to QA, I don't know, 10 months after I joined. And that's because QA needed somebody. And it was kind of just the right fit for me. While I was in customer support, was kind of passing along bugs that were reported through the customer support channels. I would attend playtests as much as I could, which wasn't as much as I had wanted, but it worked out eventually. And then, I don't know, it was kind of a natural move. And not to like cut to the chase, but design was also the same kind of thing. You know, I was doing all the QA work, and I honestly wanted more responsibility because I felt like the amount of work that I was doing in QA, like I had kind of solved what I was doing currently, and there weren't necessarily bigger problems to solve, and I was looking for bigger problems to solve just because that's more fulfilling and that's how you advance in your career. And design just ended up being that bigger problem to solve. It's got a lot of problems to solve, in fact, like infinite amount of problems to solve.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And there was a need for it as well, especially on Smite 1 right now. Mm-hmm. And I was more than happy to fill their shoes, so yeah.
Yeah, I do. When you were talking about customer support and being like, I'm not going to use this as a stepping stone, I want to be here for the long haul. I feel like that's also what QA has to deal with, where a lot of people who are trying to join the gaming industry view QA as a good entry level job, and it certainly can be, but it could also be a full career path. You know, that is not, you know, it isn't that you graduate out of QA or anything like that. And so I'm just imagining you being like, okay, I know I said I was going to be in customer support long term, but I mean I'm staying in QA for sure. No way I'm leaving.
And I was thinking long term, man. And I was like, even if you use like salary as an example for all of these jobs, like maybe customer support top end salaries don't go all that high until you're like managing like full communities of clients or something like that. Mm-hmm. And in QA, you probably go all the way up to like, you know, senior or advanced QA engineers, which are $200,000-$300,000 salaries in some businesses, or in some, probably in the gaming industry as well, to be honest with you, just at higher end businesses. Mm-hmm. And then that's similar for design, you know, and like programming and stuff like that. There's no like financial motivation there. It's just I wanted more difficult problems to solve, and design was a natural way to get those.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the things that you thought, your preconceived notions on how the design process was working and where it met or didn't meet those expectations? Like when you first started joining balance meetings and play tests and all that kind of stuff, because it definitely was different for me than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. I think I've been in kind of a privileged position for a while, even since I was back in SPL, to get an insight on how design works, because we had that like Discord where we could give feedback and things like that, like balance suggestions. Mm-hmm. And I think pretty quickly back then I figured out that design has this box to work in. And realizing the closer and closer that I got to design and now in design, I realized just how small that box can be in some situations, you know. Yeah. Not everything is possible, especially on like an older engine in Smite 1, for example, or in a MOBA. Yeah. You know, there is limitations everywhere, and designing within that box is the hard part, you know. When I think all of us who played a lot of games, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it happened for me at least, like when I was a kid playing games, I was like, oh, I could make a game, like I could definitely do this, and I could, whatever I think up, I could make happen. But that's just not how it is. You are really challenged to design within a box for a multitude of reasons, and that was one of the things that I figured out first. And we'll still, you know, continue to encounter those challenges. But for Smite 1, it's just like this game has been thriving for so long, but and everybody knows it now. We talk about it a lot with Smite 2 coming out and UE5. Like, it is, in a way, held back. The tools that are used to develop Smite and the engine that we're on and everything, just the way the back end is set up, you know, I don't know too much about it, but it is limiting in a multitude of ways, and it just goes to show like how talented the designers are and the programmers are on the Smite 1 team throughout the years to really make Smite into what it was. Because you can look at a screenshot of or a video of Smite in 2012 and then again from yesterday, right? It's the same game, but it mm-hmm. looks like four or five generations ahead, all on the same engine, you know? There's been so much work done within that box to create something as big as what Smite is now.
Bro, I was watching some Season 1 gameplay. I will not say of whom, just in case, you know, there will be people reading into it. And I was like, dude, it is so crazy this is the same game. Like, it's the same game. It's just so unbelievably different. Like, can we? It's the, what is it? Theseus's ship? Is that the philosophical thing? It's some ship, where it's like if you replace every board on the ship one at a time, at the end of the process, is it still the same ship or is it a new ship? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's kind of where we're at, and have been at for years with Smite. We're on ship number like 4 at the very least. Like, I feel like there have been like at least 3 distinct games out of Smite's history. I don't know why that's the number that's coming to my mind, but like,
no, I get that as well. But like, I would argue that it's not, at least in Smite's situation, it's not a new ship. Like, I've you know, the eternal difficulty of explaining gaming jobs to like family members, but like, like I've been using the, and somebody else used the same, was it, maybe it was you, I've been using the like 2002 Camry, and mm-hmm. maybe, I don't know if it was you that said this, but I said the same thing. But yeah, I was telling my family, like, Smite, you know, came out and it was a 2002 Camry, and just every year we've been iterating. It's the same frame under there, you know, the engine's gotten upgrades and things like that. But it's the same frame under all of the fancy bodywork. But it, you know, so there's been so much work done, but that frame is still there. You know, we can only do so much to that frame. Mm-hmm. And we can only upgrade that engine so much. And I guess, you know, that's a big reason why Smite 2 exists, right? So, yeah.
Yep. That's what it's there to do. Barry, isn't it crazy that your former coach is now going to have the power to determine if your gods are good or not?
And I'm on a mission, by the way. I am on a mission. Solo lane will... I can't say this, actually. The narrative's going to get really bad. Go ahead, Barry.
What were you going to say so that the Redditor can properly...
Well, solo lane's a really weak role right now, so I just want to bring it up to level with the others. That's all. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, it's so good that we've never talked to any frontliners before in a balance meeting. You're the first frontliner to ever utter a phrase in a balance meeting.
Exactly, yeah. And now any frontliner change that is positive, I get all of the credit for. It's fantastic.
Yeah. No, that's good. I was going to say more, but I'm not going to. Yeah, Barra, my initial question to you. How are you feeling about that?
I feel like Ro would never do that to me. We go way back.
We do.
Like 4 years, you know, from teaming together.
From teaming together. But I remember meeting you Season 2 Worlds. That was the first time I met you, I think. Yeah. Wow, but I probably played it. I probably snapped you a fair bit before that. You just didn't know it was me.
I've been watching you for years.
I knew you before we met, don't you worry.
Yeah, wow. You were playing on NA servers from Australia, right?
I distinctly remember getting yelled at by Zapman, and it's time for my revenge now. That's all.
Yep. Yeah, you've been biding your time.
Yeah.
Don't worry, I also got yelled at by Zapman in my first like big boy ranked game when Curse Voice came out. I got off-rolled to solo lane, and
dude,
Zap and Lass were on my team. And I was playing against Wolfie 2032's
classic,
iconic Hunbat solo. He rolled me on Hunbat solo, and Steve was just not pleased with me. And dude, Lass literally was like, "Hey man, I'm sorry, you're doing great." extremely Lass's voice.
So good.
It was a good time. But I also, I don't know where I was going with that. Go ahead, Barry.
Was it Arena Tank that was a really OG player? Am I misremembering his name?
Was it Bacchus player?
I can't remember what he played. I remember there was a moment that came back to me with you guys talking about getting yelled at in, like, your first big rank game. I think it was Arena Tank, but I can't remember his name. It might not be, but it sounds like a name similar to that. But I Ymirwald, and he was playing Raw, and because I Ymirwald, they went left and right instead of kept running straight, and he yelled at me for so long, and I felt so stupid, because I was like, I was trying to force him into a direction, and he was just laid into me, and I was like, I'm so sorry,
bro,
like, I'll never Ymirwald.
Season 2? Didn't you already win a Worlds by then?
No, I think it was, like, yelling at me over chat. Like he was
chat.
Just like,
oh,
you're...
Chat. Oh, okay.
He was like, you're the worst Ymir I've ever seen. Like, please stop playing the game. Like, never, like... I think he said to me, never wall again or something like that. Like, I'll just hit my abilities or, like, I don't know.
And that was the last time and that was the last time you played Ymir.
It was? I'm always... Yeah,
That's how I see Scylla when, Zapman yelled at me. Yeah.
And that's why Scylla's getting nerfed in next patch. So easy for you now.
It just sticks in your head. When you get yelled like at that, like in your first big rank game, because you're like, oh my gosh,
yeah.
These
are
the
players. You
feel
that pressure, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, I was just talking about how season one, I was just starting to try and push into Masters. And I would like climb through Diamond, and then I'd run into Soulshiner. And he'd be playing Freya Jungle.
No.
Yeah.
And he'd 20-0 my team. And I'd drop down and I'd have to win like 3 games in a row. And I'd be right before my Masters promos. And then it would be Soulshiner again on the enemy team. And he'd pick Freya Jungle and he would 20-0 my
team.
Trick. Like, it was just, he was my gatekeeper. I didn't hit Masters. I literally didn't hit Masters that season because Soulshiner single-handedly kept me out through no fault of my own. Whatsoever. I was also talking about another, you talking about an old ranked player. Who was I talking about this with? I don't know, but do you guys remember Jaja or Dr. J?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that guy said a lot of questionable things.
Oh, yeah. Not a good man. Just distinctly not a good man. Ares,
no.
Ares one trick. And you would either insta-win or insta-lose the game with him.
Yep.
There's a lot of those around these days, yeah.
Yeah, there were no... Yeah, there was nothing. Oh, I was talking to Pretty Hair about it for some reason. I don't remember why, but... I was going to say shout-out to Jaja. Not a shout-out to Jaja.
No.
Seek help.
No, reverse shout-out.
Yeah, seek help, Jaja. Get therapy or something. I don't know. You needed help. Maybe you're fine now, though. That was like 10 years ago. Who knows?
If that guy joined Curse Voice, I would leave because I was so worried about getting banned on Twitch. Because he would join Curse and just say things that you should not say on stream.
Oh my
God. Like, no, please, please, please.
Yeah, that is about par for the course for Dr. J there. All right, do I have any more design-oriented questions for Ro before we get into 11.4? Go ahead, Barra.
How'd you start, Ro? Did they approach you, or did you just see the opening? Or
definitely, yeah. Well, they approached me, but same with like when I was in customer support. So when I was in CS, like I was just like, I guess, kind of like doing extracurricular activities. You know, like when a bug would get reported, I would go ahead and do part of the QA work. Mm. Like I would want to like reproduce the bug to make sure I'm actually handing over a legitimate bug, not just someone like saying, oh, this happened once, and I'm, you know. And they report it. So I would recreate it first, and then I would type out the steps on how to recreate it, and then I would give it to the QA team. That's like half the QA job there anyway. Mm-hmm. So I was doing that for a while.
Sounded so BM, sorry.
Dude, I'm sure
I'm doing half of your job on top of my own job.
Well, I can just imagine Luker,
I should have been
like,
doing more of my own god, to be fair. Of my own job, to be fair.
Like, I can just imagine Luker getting this like fully fleshed out Jira and is like, sick. Like,
dude, that's when I joined the team and they were like, this works. Like, you already don't. I was like, yeah. But I also felt bad because like I was just giving them more work. I could not report the bugs to them, which is, you know, bad to do, but then they wouldn't be doing more work. So like I felt bad at the same time giving them the bugs. That's why I would put the effort into them.
You got to lose that mentality right away, bro. Now that you're on design,
it's been going for a while.
You have to be like excited to give QA something to do, you know. I told Luker
I already made the biggest Jira ever, by the way, already.
Perfect.
So
I'm excited to see what that is.
It's already done, but
I remember telling Luker like as soon as I joined the design team, I guaranteed at least 2 full-time QA members full job security, because I'm going to make so many mistakes that they're going to need people to cover for me. And that's, I think, the design mentality you should come with.
Yeah, I'm not sure they'll appreciate that, but I'll keep that in mind.
Oh, they love it.
I mean, right now, I'm doing some QA work as well, because it's like kind of a slower transition. Like I'm kind of 50-50 design QA right now. Mm-hmm. So when I'm more on design, I will be able to cook up some more. But right now, I'm still like doing half QA work just to make it easier. I'm not just gonna dip on the team like and just like, hey, here's this extra work that I was suddenly doing or I was doing before. Now you suddenly have to do it.
It'll be a slow transition. Work for them, like instead of helping
exactly.
Them
well, I've QA'd a lot of my own work as well already.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, so I'm just generating content, and it goes from me to the players. Nobody else even looks at it.
No filter whatsoever.
So I'll do something, implement it, and be like, oh, I did pretty good. Yeah. And then, yep, that one passed. That was good to go out the door.
Yeah, that.
So I'm hopefully sure that 1.4, there's no issues.
No.
And if there is, that was Lermy, definitely.
Right, total joke. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, both you and Lermy, because Lermy was on QA before she joined design as well. So you guys are. You have the quality assured, basically.
Yeah, well, Lermy told me when she moved to design, she did the whole, she just dipped. Like, it was a quick cut, like one day QA, next day design. And she said she felt bad about that, so I've been trying to, that's why I'm making the slow transition, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and Pond and Clumsy both did QA before they joined design.
Yeah, yeah.
It's basically only me and AJ that didn't do, I don't know if Fish did QA. And there have been some other designers who have been on the team for a little bit, but not like mainstays necessarily. I think really only me and AJ and maybe Fish didn't do QA beforehand.
And then if you include like as well as QA, you include like some kind of pro play that goes up even more.
Yes.
Well, I guess Clumsy as well. Then
Pon was a
Adonis was a designer for a little while as well, right?
He was designed on Paladins. I don't think he ever did Smite design.
He never did Smite. Okay.
Mm-mm. No, he left the casting team and went straight to Paladins design.
Okay. All right.
At least I think so. Maybe he did QA a little bit before he went to design, but I'm not sure. Yeah. Well, excited to. See what you continue to cook up. You know, I'm obviously in a lot of these meetings still, not as involved in the Smite 1 day to day as I've stated before, as I'm doing a lot of Smite 2 work. But the meetings that I do get to attend, there's always something happening.
It'd be fun.
Which I think is going to be good. And let's talk about some of those things that were happening. Actually, before we do that, I should do our ad read for the episode. What is Prize Picks, you ask? I'd heard everyone asking that when I said it's brought to you by Prize Picks earlier. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. They're the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, and no one wants to battle sharks. Like, that's a losing matchup for sure. Not going to make a joke. You pick more or less.
I was so close.
More than or less than. Yeah, I really wanted to. on 2-6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. No more college basketball. Hope you got your prize picks in for those games, especially the women's games were really sick. But you got a lot of NBA stuff happening. We're right about to get to the playoffs. A lot of teams are fighting for playoff home court. And there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. So get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into serious cash. You can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. It means you can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, which is really dope. It's really simple to play. You can make your picks and submit your entry in less than 60 seconds. Quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, and an enormous selection of players and stat types are what makes Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. So, if that sounds good to you, as I imagine it does, download the app today and use code BACKLINERS for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, that is code BACKLINERS for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Big shout out to Prize Picks. Okay, let's talk about 11.4. First things first, I hope you got a lot of picks right on Prize Picks if you're going to afford Sphinx's baubles after this update. Increased cost from $2,450 to $2,900. Have we ever increased an item's cost by this much gold? By 450
without a stat adjustment?
Gold, without a stat adjustment.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that.
I don't think so. I
can't,
I can't think
of it. I decided last night it was a mistake.
Did you?
Because I've been playing a lot of ranked, and last night there were two games specifically where I bought bauble, and specifically around like third, fourth item, and both of those games went super late game, up to the point I was like, I got to change my build, and I sold bauble. I think I was playing Neath one game. I sold bauble for Titans, mm-hmm. Which I already had 20% pen, but you know, added the another 20 in the conditional one, and then the other one where I was Poseidon. And I had 40% CDR, and I sold it for like Tahuti. Within 2 minutes, I won both of those games after selling bauble and buying a real item.
Yep.
So maybe it was a mistake. I don't know, but it's definitely a fun item.
Yep.
And it is inarguably disruptive, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
But I decided it doesn't win games last night, just based off of those two games. I've made up my mind, and nobody can change that.
Max will surely be able, our stats guy, you know, friend of the podcast, an innocent rabbit.
Yes.
He should be able to isolate if you would have won those games if you had kept bauble. Like, that's
It was certainly much easier afterwards. But yeah, I think realistically, like, where it was disruptive was the early game, because like, it's just fighting people with like full CDR, 50% CDR late game is kind of somewhat par for the course. A lot of people have a higher amount of CDR in the later game, mm-hmm. and then you also have your upgraded relics and you know, you have everything more often in the later game, so it feels more natural. Mm-hmm. But having bauble be available and somewhat viable for a third or fourth item just felt like really, really disruptive, and that's where the complaints were coming from. So pricing it at a luxury price point, it's still in the game. You can still buy it. You can still do these crazy builds. You just can't do them as early in the game. That's all. I mean, you can, but it's going to be rough.
Yeah, I really think we might have saved a lot of people's games because bauble can be very good, but it often, as you just described, I think lowers the power level of your build pretty significantly.
Yeah, it does.
And is it fun for you? Yeah.
It's certainly fun.
But killing someone is probably going to get you the win. So we might have just buffed people's games by nerfing this item out of their builds. But for the gods, you know, there are gods who really abuse it really well.
Emerger and stuff like that. Yeah,
yeah, like making it more and higher cost. I think it is mostly tanks who abuse it best. And upping their cost matters a lot more for them than it will for backline. And so I'm, you know, this is no surprise as I was part of the decision making here, but I think this was the right direction for bauble instead of, you know, adding back a negative effect or reducing its stats or anything like that. Just increase that cost makes a lot of sense to me. But boy, it is a staggering number to see increased cost from $2,450 to $2,900. Like,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
Big slap on the wrist. Was it? I've kind of missed this whole meta because I haven't played that much Conquest lately. Is it like game breaking right now, or is it just kind of like on the verge of like mid game power spike, or what?
I wouldn't call it game breaking. I think people were dying to people that had bauble and like pressing tab and seeing bauble and being like, oh, I died because of bauble. Mm-hmm. You would have died there anyway. Like, so they were just quick flame it. Yeah, yeah. In that moment, at least.
Yeah.
So I think it. Like, I don't know, this big purple gem that stuck out in people's builds, and it was quick to get the blame. And I think it was just hard for people to adjust to as well, because just, you know, things are happening more often than they're used to. So I don't know, there could be a world where we bring it back, but right now is the time to give people some breathing room. I think the most egregious build that I saw, at least most commonly, was like junglers building Boomer's Hammer, and then you just start Jotun's Hydras, and then you go some luxury item, and then you go bauble, and around the time you're getting bauble, you're getting hammer as well, so you just have a ton of CDR and all of the stats you need. That's where it was pretty egregious.
Gotcha, okay, that makes sense. I don't know if it was like a win more item, like you just buy and you're already ahead, and then you're like, oh my gosh, I'm losing to this, like this is OP, like. Or if it's just kind of like the smite player thing like you talked about earlier, where like Smite players love to like focus in on one or two things
yeah,
per game
yeah.
and just be like, this is what's happening. This is why I'm losing.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm still happy with the overall change that we made to take the negative side away from it, because that actually allows people to build it. Like, you couldn't build it on a tank before; you were just kind of trolling because you just took more damage, you did less healing, and it just removed them from those gods completely. Mm-hmm. Now you can still buy it at least.
Yeah.
Do you think it's still good on like Umoja, like aggro thing
well,
earlier? Like
Umoja is
the OP cases, or
yeah, just the way Umoja's Omi works, it's. In that last 10% kind of acts like 30%, just for the way that her Omi works with the math. So it's definitely worth it on a god like that, but you're going to be squishy as well. So it is still a luxury item. So it can be like, it can be seen as a win more item in that regard. Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not going to make you more tanky, but getting more Riptides, getting more stuns, like always good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I did want to, there's a big pass before we talk about two brand new items, which is really exciting. There was a big pass yet again by the team on timings. You guys talked about this a good amount on the patch notes show, but similar to before, where a lot of these abilities got sped up, or not sped up, but just more closely matched where it feels like they should have fired, which will feel really good, including, well, where is the one I was looking for Bera? Oh yeah, I think Chernabog basic attacks are one of the biggest noticeable changes, where I felt like that a basic attack always felt hard to hit because it was coming out kind of late. It feels so much better now, so I'm excited about that.
Yeah, you kind of have to play them to really know it. Like, it wasn't something we could show on the patch notes show. It wasn't something it's hard to describe when we talk about it. I usually say less input delay. That is the simplest way to put it, really. It just, the things are happening sooner, and when you play it and you experience it, it just immediately makes sense. That's how I found it, at least.
Yep. Well, actually, this is important. Are you a Chernakuda or a Barabog believer?
Chernakuda.
What?
Your opinion doesn't matter.
Sounds like
actually.
A disease.
It's crazy that how objectively wrong that is.
It's
That's
Barabog
actually insane.
For sure.
Yeah. Dude, everybody says Barabog. Who? Other than you just now, who has ever said that?
Everyone. It's
always been Barabog when I was on a team with you. Ven said yes. Barabog? Like,
it's Barabog. It's Barabog.
Don't listen to what Ven says. Why would you ever
I don't know, man.
Listen to
it's
what
Barabog. You, as someone who is one of the premier one tricks at one time for this god, Bera, you should definitely, once this patch drops, you're in it. I'm excited for you to feel those basics, because you'll definitely feel it.
Yeah.
Is it just like hand movement matching with the auto attack, or is it,
I mean, the simply put, the projectiles come out sooner.
Okay.
As soon as you start attacking, they come out sooner. Yeah.
Dude, like, of course Lermi says Chernakuda is based.
Yeah, she's right.
How is that?
Good luck, Ro. Good luck, man. You got a Chernakuda believer with you.
We balance each other out in the design team.
It's
so
true.
It's fine.
It's true. I wanted to talk about Pele, because I actually haven't seen the Pele change, and it's to Eruption, her 2. You guys must have been a little spooked by it, because
it was me.
Preemptively nerfed the 2. Yeah, I wanted to ask how you got there.
I mean, that's a strong ability. When you get, like you can actually win the 1v1 against... like your Willix flip over the Pele knockup, you win in that 1v1, right?
Yep.
Now it's not much harder, but it quite literally comes out sooner,
right?
Yeah, so you have to react quicker, and that is just stronger. I think Pele, as soon as you start, if you just assume you always hit your Pele 2 and they always get knocked up, immediately your win ratio for those 1v1s when you're diving in backline goes through the roof. So just preempting a little bit of a nerf there, I felt was necessary, yeah.
Yeah, Lermi said in chat, the knockup goes off when she hits the ground.
Yeah,
so you can imagine that little animation, that is significantly faster.
Yeah.
That's significant. I don't know if I'm allowed to tell the story, but who cares, I'm doing it. One time I did ask Clumsy, because Pele's a clumsy god, because there's, you know, she does the little animation, then there's this delay. I was like, did you guys ever experiment with letting her blink, like, after she had fired but before the knockup went off? And he said they did play test it that way initially, that because you're locked, you know, you can't use that before the knockup starts. He said that there was a big enough gap where you could two and then blink, and they just determined that there was no world where that could exist.
yeah.
And I agree. It's funny that a bigger gap between the animation and the knockups is really strong in that sense, but then this other side of the coin where it's much faster will be strong, but in a completely different way.
I do think that it'll, like, yes, it's a buff. A lot, I mean, these are all buffs, right? They're mm-hmm. technically making things faster, so they're all buffs in some way or another. But I do think, like, the balance concerns heavily are outweighed by the good feeling that the Pele has now. Mm-hmm. And if you need to feel it yourself, just go ahead and play it, and I think more people will understand. Like, Pele, I think, was one of the biggest ones numbers-wise through that whole list. Yeah. But it goes the same for all of them. Some of them were very small, mm-hmm. But they needed some adjustment. And then, yeah, some other ones like Pele were pretty big. Yeah.
Yep. Okay, let's talk about the two new items. Including the new ADC item. It's called Storm Seeker. It builds off of Hunter's Bow. It's 1,900 gold. That's for the tier 3 version, right? 1,900 gold?
Yep. I know. That's a very cheap
just
item.
Double checking. 1,900 gold. Bear, are you hearing that? Less than 2K for your tier 3 item. 1,900 gold for 15 physical power. You're not going to get very excited about that. But 20% attack speed. And the passive, when you hit an enemy god with a basic attack, gain a permanent stacking attack speed buff. Each stack grants 0.15% attack speed for a max of 999 stacks. This got tweeted out, I don't remember if Lermy, I think Lermy tweeted it out.
Yeah.
Before the patch note show. And her entire, all of the replies are like, this is so broken. Most OP thing ever. Like, can't believe Hi-Rez introduces another broken hunter item. Literally every reaction I saw today was probably not good enough. yeah. And it is surely you have to reset the stacks if you miss, right? Like, that's what everyone's saying. And then it's like,
what?
Yeah.
People were going nuts.
You should go look at the replies to that tweet, Barra. They were on one. But I thought that was very funny. But before we get your reaction here, Barra, Ro, talk me through the design process a little bit for how the team landed on this item.
So, yeah, it all kind of comes back to items like Prophetic Cloak, like where you had to get in the action to stack the item. And it gets better the more in the action you are, because you're just stacking up this passive stat. And we found that gameplay loop really fun. The players really like Prophetic Cloak as well, at least the gameplay loop behind it. So we wanted to do more of that. And then, you know, we're just getting a little crazy lately and thought about, you know, what does 999 stacks mean? What could that look like? I think we increased Charon's passive stacks in a previous patch.
Yeah.
And then this patch, we, you know, increased Surtur's passive stacks as well. Like, what could happen if something just is scaling throughout the entire game? And what does it mean to have, like, a quest like that for the entire game? Is that really fun? Mm-hmm. I found it pretty fun. Like, oh, I just want to hit as many basic attacks. I want to get in the action and play these fights to hit as many basic attacks as possible. As well as that, it's like, at a higher number of stacks, this item, the amount of attack speed it gives, can look really egregious. And all of a sudden, okay, now I can be capped attack speed, but I can also have rage and like DB, like none of these attack speed items, and yet I can still have all of this like high DPS because of my attack speed. So it opens up more build paths as well. That's kind of the philosophy behind it. It's just a new take on an interesting item. That's why we priced it so low as well, because you're going to need to start stacking it early. My vision for it right now in its current state is like, maybe like a death toll and then, you know, tier 1 bow and then back early. You'll be able to back well before, like, the say they get Devos. You'll be able to back well before they can get Devos, and you can just start fighting them immediately, and you start scaling immediately while you have pressure thanks to, like, death toll and this really cheap item. Mm-hmm. So I think that's fun. It's just, it opens up an alternate way of playing, which hunters haven't seen. Like, it's been crit build and kins build for 10 years. you know, this is just something new, something fresh. So we'll see what players think of it, really.
Yeah, Barra, how's this item tickling your fancy right off the rip here?
It's tickling me already. I don't think it's that strong. I think it's like pretty mid for strength. Not mid in like a bad way, but I don't think it's something that where it's going to completely take over the meta, which is probably a good thing for hunters, because I think anytime a hunter item is released that does take over the meta, then that hunter item starts randomly being placed in solo now, or just all over the map, and then hunters are OP. So I don't think it's like that strong. The price point is attractive, because it kind of meets that, it was like the tier 2 Aussie old like Ickable builds of previous years, and I think that more items should be priced around this price point, because it just mixes up the pace of gameplay. Mm-hmm. Instead of like, I'm building Devos, I'm building Xe, like there's always this spike that's always consistent in hunter builds.
Yeah.
That just makes the game, I don't want to say stale, but it's very predictable, because everyone has like this one build path that everyone's going to. But since I haven't played that much Conquest and I've never tested this item before, I don't know strength-wise how it would feel. I feel like it'd be obviously better on gods that can basic attack a little easier and hit people a little easier, like Charybdis or Rama, or like just have more consistent auto attacks like Hachi, Ishtar, like the more long range where you can just stack it up really freely, really quickly.
Dude, Charybdis is sick tech, no? That you'd get three stacks from your little triple hit?
Yeah, that's true. Well, actually, I had a question as well. We can play a little game here, because I've just recently got the data, and by recently, I mean within the last hour. Shout out to Max. He thought it was a good idea to get this data, but I'll have you, first of all, let's both guess, in an average Conquest game for a hunter, how many, let's say an average console Conquest hunter, okay?
So this is
console NPC. I've got both of them. From Max. How many across the whole game? What do you think the average of auto attacks hit from hunters on console is?
That's really funny, because I played this game for like 25,000 hours or more.
That's something you don't think about at all.
I'm literally just guessing. Like, I have no idea. Well,
one way you can kind of break it down is like, you can think about how much damage you do. Like, you can see a scoreboard at the end of the game, right? How much damage you've got. Break that down into how much damage you would think you'd do in each auto attack.
Abilities, you know, like, tablet really opened my eyes. Yeah. Like, when we introduced tablet, that really opened my eyes to like how easy it is to not hit that many abilities for me through like the mid game. That has an ICD, this doesn't, and that does make a really big difference. I'm gonna guess about 175 to 200.
And that's console, right?
Yeah
What about you, Barrett?
I'm gonna guess 125.
It's 77.
No way, bro!
Wait, what's the game length for that, for the average?
I don't know. I mean, the average Conquest game is like 30 or just under, I think.
Easy to find. That is in 77.
77 for console, and I'll just tell you PC, because, you know, we've already spoken about 113 for keyboard and mouse.
Yep.
So, when you think about those 999 stacks, I will be very impressed if somebody gets that legitimately, right?
It's literally not possible to get it legitimately. I'm convinced. Yeah. Even in an hour-long game, bro, people will just die. Like, they'll just die. That is insane that he actually got those stats, by the way.
Yeah, I didn't think it was possible, but we have them now. So we'll see what, it's a cheap item. We'll see how it does on release. But, you know, maybe we'll be adjusting it a little more in the future. Either way, I think it's like, because that number is so low for the average, that makes like the quest of reaching higher stacks a more fun thing as well. So it'll be interesting to see within the next month or so, before our next patch, what the highest somebody can get is.
I was going to say, like, I mean, you could very easily choose to not basic attack an enemy god before you get this without like throwing the game. And then it's literally just a counter. How many autos are there in this game?
Then the rough part is, and I didn't think about this till late, and I should stop admitting that I only thought about these things recently. but like now, it could become like kind of a toxic thing. Like, dude, why are we doing no damage? And then you press tab and your ADC has 5 stacks on their storm
screen. Wait, can you see the stacks?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
In the middle of SPL, like,
legitimate panic,
bro. Like, SPL, we used to pull out the damage meters all the time. Like, you know, we see Weakens got 6, 6, 7. Barracuda, we're 20 minutes into the game, has 20 stacks of his storm seeker.
Bro, I think that happened in the season 9. Show match at Worlds, Wraithen built tablet on Giannis, and he ended the game with like 8 stacks.
He hit eight spells,
you know, maybe he hit an alt into a 2, but whatever. Like, maybe it was higher than 8, maybe I'm slandering his name, but it was not very many, and I was like, oh boy. I remember that happening. No, I definitely think it'll be really fun.
I think it's good to encourage the hunter players to get in there. You're not going to hit more auto attacks, you're not going to get better at it unless you actually get in there and do it.
True.
If you build Griffin Wing, that might help you a little bit, sure, that'll bring the average up if people do that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's overall it's a well and truly a positive, and I think it's going to be a really fun item.
Could you ever go like Bologna Dust Hole and solo
you can
that?
Yeah, you for can sure. I mean, like, Kali has like 0.5 and like her attack speed change, you get it fast on Kali, Arachne. But they're melee as well. You're going to get up there to actually hit those. So.
Yeah, but in solo, you're going to get a chance to trade a little bit more with those.
Unless the solo just runs away from you the entire time, which that would be the biggest buzz kill.
Yeah,
if you built that item and then they just avoid you the entire time.
Yeah, that would be annoying. Yeah.
Yeah,
I would hate that.
Yep, we'd hate that. I think Soul Laners might be doing a little bit more of the other new item.
I think they will be.
Golden Blade to the streets. It's out of here. You've got Golden Shard now. Instead, you have a new katana named Equinox. It builds off of Thousandfold Blade. It is 2,200 gold, 25 power, 20% attack speed, 7% movement speed with the passive. When you hit an enemy with a basic attack from the front, you heal for 2+1 health per level. Doubled against gods. When you hit an enemy basic attack from the back, you deal an additional 15+3 physical damage per level. That is not doubled against gods. It's Loki tech. You know, the backstab good stuff is here on an item. Ro, same thing here. Kind of walk me through how the team decided to make Equinox.
Yeah, same kind of theme in the approach of looking at more gameplay loops, like thinking of more ways to play the same game. You know, having to think about, it's kind of the Wheelix thing when you're getting hit by an Wheelix and having to think about an Wheelix going on you, and you have to decide whether or not you want to face them, or you kind of have to back up and while facing them, or you think you can turn if you have beads. Like, it's kind of just makes you think about something extra. So you, when you're getting boxed by somebody that has this, I'm just going to use Soul Lane as the example. It's like, can I outbox them while they're healing? If not, do I have enough time to run away when they're doing that extra damage from hitting me from behind? And it just makes you think about another level of play. We also wanted it to fit the same kind of gods, or, you know, at least most of the same gods as what Golden Blade did, because I think there are a lot of people that are actually attached to Golden Blade for various reasons, and removing it will make some of them kind of sad. So I think adding this in that same role, and so they can buy it, will make them not so sad in that regard. So I think it fits that role. It's a katana, so it can go in solo lane as well to a certain extent. We saw Golden Blade a little bit in solo lane at the start of last year, I want to say, I think. Like Herc and like Vamana solo
Golden
lane.
Blade, yeah.
Yeah.
That was such a weird build for Herc.
Yeah, I think those gods could probably still buy this as well. So... But yeah, that's kind of the philosophy, just to introduce more gameplay loops, something different to focus on, at least in the early game.
Yeah, Barry, your immediate reaction here to the new katana?
Yeah, I think I'm definitely one of those players that Ro's talking about that has a weird attachment to Golden Blade. I think it's just because I've been building that item for so long, and like, I always get like Mercury dopamine hits. Like, whenever you're, like, level 20, you've got your full crit build, they don't have, like, a spectral or whatever, and you're just punching everything, and it feels like you're doing, like, 4,000 damage in auto attack.
Shout out to Sino stealing a fire giant with a golden blade prop.
Oh, yeah.
Rest in peace.
Was that against
It's me? A classic.
I think it was. Yep, I think it was.
Of course. We lost it to an oboe from Pandacat and a
golden blade. I was on the team on that one. That reminded me.
Didn't you lose one to like a Sylvanas Wisp tick or something like that? I think I remember that happening.
Probably. That doesn't sound
Oh, far. You lost one to a branching Bola. I remember that. Someone stepped up and blocked a Jiba, a Jibalanke one, and the branch killed it.
Yeah, that's their bad. Know,
this is off topic, but I just want to know what my Fire Giant secure to lose ratio is. And then just like
we might like actually get, Max might be able to find that on God.
Your ratio of your team pulling fire giants versus securing is gonna be like
dude,
yeah, it's gonna be down there.
Man, you know, best ways to secure a fire giant, like Iset ult, Kukulkan ult, play against Barracuda. Like those are the best three things you can do to secure a fire giant for your team.
Yeah.
I just remember losing him in like the most 99.9% situations. I'm like, nothing can go wrong here.
I think we had a streak on like Renegades. Sorry to cut you off, but I think we had a streak on Renegades where that was happening. And when it was like the earlier weeks, like the start of that streak, it was like people would get upset about it and be loud in comms. And towards the end, someone would steal Fire Giant, everybody would go quiet. It's like, that's it. Yeah.
You start to like
it's so
laugh
good.
About it a little bit, and then you're like, you just start to get sad. Like every time you're like, really, like, we just couldn't get this one.
What's like the sports equivalent to like a fire giant fight? Like there, that's what's so good about esports is like there really isn't something like where it's like it can be so flippy, it can be so weighted, but then not go your way. Like there's, I mean, maybe like a penalty kick in. In soccer, like, is the or I mean, like a penalty shot in hockey, like those are the best things I can think of. But that's
I watch a lot of combat sports, so I think there's like when you really like stand in the pocket with somebody and you're just trading haymakers, for example, and it's kind of just like 50-50, somebody's gonna get knocked out here. It's kind of like that as well,
Or
it's like I'm on top of the dude knocking him out, and then I just get knocked out from something.
No, it's when you get like submit. You know, you're on top, and then they like submit you out of nowhere or something like that. You know what I mean? Like that's
I just pass. Out like
snatching defeat from the jaws of victory, if you will. But yeah, Barra, your Equinox evaluation.
This is a really weird item, not in like a bad way. I just don't know what to think about it. I'm having trouble figuring out what gods I would really want to build this on over other items in the meta right now. It'll feel different playing against it. Like, if I'm running away from someone and they magically start just, like, hitting me for 50 in the back, and I'll be like, that doesn't feel great. But I don't know what I would build this on, and unless it's, like, a Bologna or, like, an Osiris. I don't know if I would go to this for, like, a jungler?
It's been pretty good on like Nemesis, Kali, and probably Arachne too. I haven't played it on Arachne yet, but yeah, it's pretty good on those auto attack based assassins. Maybe not Merc because you kind of just want big number, not small number.
Erlong,
get all the crit items early.
Erlong it's pretty good on.
Do you feel a damage drop off, or is it more like you're playing for the sustain, or is it just kind of you're happy with either number that you're getting?
If they're hitting you back, which generally they are if they're facing you, right? Mm-hmm. Then I mean, I think it feels good either way. The damage feels really good. Like, if you're a jungler and you gank, a lot of the time they're running away from you. It's like not often someone's actually turning on you as a jungler, right? So you're getting that extra damage, and it feels really good. You see the extra number. It's a different color. It, you know, brain happy. It definitely works. Yeah. So it feels good. Obviously, we only have so many internal playtests that we can do. Literally, when the item goes live, within an hour, more people have, like, there have been more games tested it than we could have ever done internally in weeks. So, there'll be a lot more examples of it then, but I think so far we've seen it viable on a decent amount of gods.
Interesting. Is it like a Bakasura item too? I guess no ability assassins would want to go for this.
No, not really. You want to be attacking a lot. Like it's it's like in size, right? It's happening per auto attack, so it scales essentially with your attack speed. The more attacks you're doing, the more it's doing. So you want to have some kind of high attack speed or a stim or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I think this is an item that I can't judge like effectiveness wise without having to play with it. Just because I don't really get to build these items like ever. The ones in this tree, so it's hard for me to have a good guesstimization. And then I'm also just salty that Golden Blade's out, so
you can buy it in the shard.
It's all Rose's fault.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm never getting a second relic.
Blame him.
I think I would have to just play with it. Final conclusion on that.
I will accept it.
I will add one thing, and is that it's probably going to do. Like, people have to account for how much objective damage is doing as well, because you just stand behind Gold Fury. You need somebody else. You can't solo an objective, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you can a little bit with the healing, but there's a lot of mechanics for anti-healing. But if someone pulls the FG for you, I had my mid laner pull FG for me in playtest so I could... I could hit it from the back, and for the extra DPS, and I had Boomba Spear. There's a lot of damage, and we can move on now, I think. Yeah.
Now that we know the tech.
I did literally in the first playtest that we had, I asked my boss, shout out to Alex Chaos, to pull Gold Fury so I could hit it from the back, and that was, everybody laughed at me, but that's okay.
Was that the same playtest that one of you died to a jungle camp?
Yes, that was actually Alex that died to the jungle camp immediately.
Yep.
Yeah.
That guy, former SBL player, so washed. Really. Happy birthday, Alex, by the way. It was his birthday this week. Okay, a couple really cool balance changes, but we are basically at time. I just want to say these things so I can see Barra's face. King Arthur can now proc basic attack items with his basic attacks. Yep, that's the face I was looking for.
I feel like people have to think about that one, yeah. That one's interesting.
Yep.
What?
Oh, podcast, right. Barra did a face where it was a little bit of... It was mostly confusion with a little bit of incredulousness. That's the... like I'd say, 75% confused, 25% incredulous. just to picture that while you're listening to this podcast.
It means he can build Boomba's hammer if you really want to, and that's kind of fun.
You can.
You're such a solo laner. It's crazy.
Hey, Barra, hold on. He's an Omni got a buff too, buddy. You know,
ADC yelling at the solo laner. What's new?
Yeah, right.
Her dash is now 15 seconds in all ranks instead of scaling down from 17. You know, you're
Metroid's
welcome.
So happy somewhere.
Yep. And, yeah. And you see, I don't do anything for you. That's crazy.
Yeah. So insane.
I hate that.
Cupid, his hearts now spawn closer together.
Oh, so you have to throw him against walls every time now.
Yeah. It's actually, you would like it a lot because they're just close enough that you can throw them out at like a mid distance and do a little sidestep and then dash and you go through two of them.
Oh, yeah. That's nice. Yeah.
See, it's all fine.
Exactly.
He does.
I'm playing both sides of the fence here.
And also now Surtur 1 stacks increased from 200 at cap to 999.
We can move on from that one.
You get a stack if you hit an enemy god. You gain a couple stacks when you gain 3 when you hit an enemy god. You gain 5 if you kill an enemy god. You gain 2 when you kill an enemy non-god and 1 if you hit an enemy non-god. Damage decrease per stack, from 5 per stack to 1 per stack. So, just more stacking.
Yeah. Every time you hit your 1, you're stacking it in some amount, depending on what you're hitting.
Yep. And I'm excited for that change. I'm definitely going to queue up and slam some Surtur. ADC, of course, because that's what we're, all about here.
You can Storm Seek.
I can indeed.
That would be OP.
Seek the Storms. All right, time for the random question of the week.
Wait, no, you can't skip over one change.
Oh, what do you want?
Don't let him get away with this Herc change.
What is it?
Don't let Rose slide this by.
You can't dodge it? What's the problem? I don't...
I'll tell you. I did see one reply to your tweet being, in before they have to nerf Herc boulder damage because people didn't complain because they just weren't getting hit by it as much. But now when they get hit by it, they'll get hit for 800 plus 100% of your physical power at level 20. It is going to be a lot of damage for sure.
It feels good to use. I will say that much. If you get Herc in any of your games, in your assault games, maybe actually there's an assault change we could talk about that might make
Barra
happy.
Oh, true.
Yeah, there's a couple. You now get two rerolls instead of one. So that's nice. No more back to back assassins. Now you can go back to back to back assassin and be extra sad. There's that, and then bastions from Conquest. There's now bastions in front of the tier one towers. So hunter players, oboe, you can get a little bouncy bounce going off of them if they're sitting under their tower. The towers have been adjusted so that the bastions reduce 25%. They give the tower 25% mitigations each. Mm-hmm. So they're tankier at the start than what they were, but if you kill both bastions, the tower's been adjusted so that the tower will actually be weaker than what it was. So it just changes the dynamics of assault a little bit. Buy Robo, then you can bounce off of those for fun. And then the last assault change was, depending on how many towers you have up, the movement speed you get out of base at the start of a game?
Yeah.
You'll get an amount of, or a duration of movement speed to get back to that tower as long as that tower is up. So even in the middle of the game, if you die and your tier one tower is up, you will get back to that tier one tower quicker. So you don't just spend forever. Like, I was tapping out in assault when I died and was walking back to lane. Right. I was just tapping out. Yeah.
So press auto lock.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And my team would die before I get there. I'm like, great. Awesome. That's awesome. So now you got movement speed to get that back into the action pretty quick. So it should make it more fun, I hope.
Yeah, I mean, it's already the best game mode, so, you can change these warriors however much you want. This is a great
Yeah, you're safe over there, pal.
Yeah, you won't be getting Surtur stacked on in Assault nearly as much. Although we did do an Assault playtest where we had some Surturs and they were stacking really fast, but that was some nerfs.
Probably, ironically, one of the better Stormseeker maps, actually. You could probably get the most stacks in Assault, as long as you roll a Hunter in one of your three chances.
Tanks are really tanky in Assault, too, so they just...
Yeah.
They'll just ego you, and you can just stack off.
Yeah, I mean, you can build, no damage. You can build Stormseeker first, and then, start going into Griffin Wings or something. You can hit for 30, and they're just going to stand in front of you. That's just free stacks
really
for you.
But really often. It's actually beneficial for you to not build damage early so that they don't think, I shouldn't be eating these autos,
Yeah, that is actually tech, though. Unironically, that is actually tech. Until you get really... Actually, with the Bastions, you don't really have to worry about getting run over early game anymore, so stacking is better in Assault now.
Here's the real tech.
Okay.
Even... You can do this in Conquest, too. You buy Stormseeker, you don't build any other items. You, for a while, right? You just stockpile.
Please do this, yeah.
You stockpile, uh-huh. 4 to 5K gold, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah,
because,
get interest on this.
They'll let you hit them over and over and over again because you're not doing any damage. So they'll be like, whatever, I don't have to respect this. Then you come out of base with a bunch of Stormseeker sacks and two completed items out of nowhere. Mm. And you'll one-shot everyone.
Your max cap attack speed with just all of a sudden you get a DB in rage and then you earn it.
Oh my god,
game's
what
over.
Happened? It's like you let me stack, man. I scaled.
I scaled.
Get scaled upon. That's so easy for me. All right, time for the random question of the week. These brought to you, of course, by our community Discord, patreon.com/backliners, the place to go if you want to join up there. We owe pet picks in there, Barra. We haven't posted pet picks in a little bit. We got called out, and I forgot until this exact moment.
Yeah, Hammy's got some great ones from him getting fixed recently. So.
Oh, great. Was he, completely zooted?
He was so out of it? I felt really bad the first night. We got him fixed last Saturday. And the first night he was home, they had to, tear him up. Because one of his boys went on a journey through his body, so they had to go searching for it. And so they had stitches in his abdomen and his thigh.
Wait, what? I was reading ahead for this question, and then I just tuned back in caught up to what you said. What in the world?
Basically, I'll give you a TLDR. Ball lost, they went digging, and
Yeah, I didn't know that was possible.
Did they find it?
Yeah, they found it. It was lodged somewhere in his body.
That had to be wildly uncomfortable.
Yeah, he was on anesthesia, and he doesn't do well in anesthesia, apparently. And he was so tired when he got home. He was, like, trying to sleep standing up. Like, I was trying to comfort him. I was trying to, like, hold his chest up so he could sleep.
Yep.
And he would just, like, lean this way, and then I'm like, no. Like, he would lean this way. I'm like, please.
Yeah.
Because anytime he would lean too far, he would, like, whine a little bit or, like, wake up and cry. So I'm, like, trying to, like, hold his belly or, like, hold his chest up.
Yeah.
But he's doing much better now. Antibiotics and painkillers, everything they gave us did really good for him.
That's good.
But, yeah, Destiny also got him, like, a donut because he was not doing well with the cone.
Nope.
Dude, yeah.
And he was getting out of the cone, too, because the Sheba's got, like, got really fat necks, so he was able to, like, slide out of it.
Yep.
But we got him, like, a donut that he can't slide out of anymore. But, yeah, he's back to energy levels. He's doing really good now.
We love that. Yeah, yes. Maybe I'll also post some pictures of when my dog Mackenzie got, she did the, like, go under to get her teeth cleaned thing, mm-hmm. and she came home and... You know, you've been at a party where, like, a friend, like, took an edible that was too strong and is, like, on the couch. Like, that was my dog. it was so funny. Like, it was so funny. And, dude, poor dog. She had that done. She, like, recovered over 2 days. And then it was the 4th of July. And then we had Calvin, like, right after that. We, like, abandoned her and someone had to come watch her.
Oh, no.
She had a tough week that week, for sure. Oh. Anyways, yeah, random question week time. Shadow Faxed, you're on death row, probably for, like, buffing solo laners or something like that. What's your final meal before your execution?
I guess I would have to stay vegan, because I feel like that would just be hypocritical if I didn't.
I mean, who's gonna hold you accountable?
I don't
bro?
Think. Yeah, yeah. And also, you're not gonna know. Like,
slam it.
Yeah, I feel like they. I couldn't do that. So I'll go with my best vegan meal. It would be probably Destiny's Buffalo Mac she's been making lately. It is
smart man,
unreal.
Yeah,
Buffalo Mac and this cheesecake recipe that she made, and just. Eat as much of those two items as I can, and then probably finish it off with, like, a, two donuts, one vanilla ice, no sprinkles, one chocolate ice with sprinkles, and then an iced coffee. That would be my meal.
That's a good meal. That's a good meal. Ro, do you have yours ready?
Yeah, I think I would literally just go back to what my dad's, like, specialty was when I was growing up, and that was, like, this is, sorry, the opposite of Barra's, but mine's, like, a full big steak, with red wine gravy, mashed potato, limited vegetables, because I don't know, I already got the other good stuff. I don't need
well,
to,
what
you know,
are you, what are you playing for the, you're playing, you're scant, you're buying a Storm Seeker to get executed, you know what I mean? Like, we're at the very end of the game here, fellas. No reason to play for the long con.
Yeah, exactly. So, and then probably a rum and coke if I was to choose my drink. Mm. And I don't know if I'd maybe just pick a random dessert just to delay the inevitable. You know, that's all.
What's the thing that's going to take me the longest to eat?
Yeah.
No, I think mine might be also a steak, but from have you been to Little Alley Steakhouse?
You told me about it, and I went there for my anniversary. Yeah,
did it go hard?
Hell yeah! So did the sides. Yeah.
Yes, dude, the sides are unbelievable. I should have told you which side. I hope you got the twice baked potato, because it's maybe the greatest potato thing I've ever eaten in my entire life.
No, I think we got, like, asparagus and, like, Brussels or something like that.
Yeah, oh, their Brussels sprouts are so good.
Yeah, I don't like Brussels, but they were actually good.
Yeah, that steak from there would be high on the list. A pizza from my uncle's pizza shop. Let's do it all, man. Who cares? Like, I'm grabbing that. And then for dessert, maybe some crumble cookies. Some of my favorite crumble cookies could do. And a bowl of cereal. That's my classic dessert. I'm a cereal for dessert guy.
Late night cereal.
Well, it depends on what I'm in the mood for. We've had the cereal discussion.
Well, you're on death row. You're on death row. What are you in the mood for?
Oh, I'm going to have one of everything, bro. I'm going to have... what? Yeah, I got
a bowl of, like, one bowl of everything? Or are you just putting everything in the same bowl?
No, one bowl. Well, yeah, I'm going to have a bowl of, like, Cocoa Pebbles, which is the best chocolate-only cereal. Then I'll have a bowl of, like, Reese's Puffs. No, I'd probably save the bowl of Reese's Puffs for last. Maybe I'd have a bowl of...
Okay, they cut you off. Only one bowl.
Okay. Bro.
Only
it literally
one
is what
bowl.
I'm in the mood for from my favorite cereals at the time. But probably Reese's Puffs.
Your mood's going to be pretty rough at that time. So.
Yeah, true.
And actually, I had a question, you know, not to make the show run longer, you might need a bidet after that one.
True, yes, and, yes, I wanted to ask you about this, thank you. I convinced Ro to get a bidet and a balance meeting the other day.
Yeah.
Really good stuff.
Yeah, that's our balance meetings, by the way.
Yeah, exactly.
Balancing the bowels.
Give me the review, Ro. Did it change your life?
Dude, every step of it was an interesting experience. First of all, I got delivered in an Amazon delivery. Didn't come in like an Amazon box, just the bidet box, right? And I open the door and I'm embarrassed, and I shouldn't be really. Like it's fine, you know. It's not some, you know, adult toy or anything like that, you know.
No.
But immediately I was like, everybody knows I have a clean ass. Like now, like everybody knows what I'm doing, and I didn't want to share that information. Oh well, now I'm sharing it on the podcast anyway.
Yep.
Whatever. So then I get it upstairs, and I remember you were talking in the balance meeting about how the install is pretty easy. It can be, it's you know, some hoops you got to jump through, and I know Joe, your wife, had helped others with it previously.
Yep.
Yeah. But I will say I struggled. I will admit that. I think in the instructions. Yeah, in the instructions they said you need just a wrench and then a screwdriver. I think I ended up using a wrench, a screwdriver, and then some scissors, a knife,
scissors.
And then some sandpaper as well.
Oh, what are we sanding?
So and one one trip to Home Depot actually. In fact, I needed a thing from Home Depot, and then I'm in Home Depot, and I says it's here in the aisle. I'm here, and the aisle is like these curtains in this aisle. Like this isn't the bathroom, right? And then I realized I'm in a Lowe's, not a Home Depot.
That is
that's fine. Same kind of store, we're good.
That is so funny. You found it at the Lowe's, right? You didn't leave to go
I found it at the Lowe's. Same exact thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was the hose that goes from like into your toilet, and it has like a like the nut on it. These old ass toilets.
No,
it's this rental
new.
Arm. This okay. But they wouldn't. They fit, but they didn't fit well enough to turn because they had these wings on the nut.
Uh-huh.
So I had to like you know get those wings down, which I ended up using the sandpaper for.
Okay.
But yeah, so that was a bit of a mission. It only took me 2 hours in the end, which definitely didn't feel good. But yeah, then I installed it, and
then it's fear the first time, right? I had distinct fear before my first use.
There's a dial on it where you have the water pressure, right? And I had it at zero essentially.
Yep.
And I hit the button, I hear a little trickle, but I'm not feeling anything back there yet. and to be clear, to everyone watching, you know, I got the base version. I couldn't use the hot water.
Yes.
You know, that's I have just like the toilet room. It's away from where the hot water source is, so I only could use the cold water.
Yeah.
It was pretty cold yesterday. I don't know if you remember. So yeah, I started cranking it, and I couldn't feel it. And I'm like, "Is this working?"
Uh-huh.
I'm hearing the same, what I think is the same trickle, because it's, you know, kind of the same amount of water.
Uh-huh.
And then it moves up a little bit, and it hits me, and you know, I think I was trying to be quiet. But uh-huh. I don't know. I let out some sound and immediately turned it off, by the way.
Yes, that's the immediate reaction. Yep.
Yeah, and then I turned it back on and same sound again, by the way.
Yep.
Like
Yeah. Did you get to a point of comfort? Or are you still scared to use it, would you say?
I'm still scared to use it. And even like the first time I used it, I was just like, I felt caught off guard, and I was like almost looking for someone to blame. Like what? Like who? Like who? Nobody warned me that this was going. It was me pressing the button, but nobody warned me that was gonna happen.
Right. No.
Yeah.
I will, in solidarity, I'll tell the story of my installation in use. My college roommate is the one who got it for us. We'd already moved here, but he just knows that I'm a fan of that that activity in the bathroom. You know, like, I'm a prolific user of the bathroom. And he was like, you definitely could use this. And he was right. But I was scared to install it, so I had procrastinated. And then he came to visit, and he was like, bro, I will help you install it. So we install it, same thing, took a trip to the hardware store, all that kind of stuff, got it set up. And then, the time came for me to just try, I didn't have to go. I just wanted, I just had to try it out. And he sat outside the bathroom, door closed, all that kind of stuff. And his name's Kalen. And I was like, Kalen, I'm scared, man. Like, I don't want to, this is going to be something. And he's like, just send it, man. So I send it, and I did not have it down all the way. Because he said 50% should be fine. And there's no word I can use besides bullseye to describe what happened to me. And I think I did the full Tom and Jerry, like, yell, like the, I'm not going to try and impersonate it because my son's sleeping in the room over. But, like, literally leaped off of the toilet.
I was scared to get up. I didn't want to make a mess with the water everywhere, so I just kind of had to tank it.
Yeah, no, you. That's the frontliner in you, man. You know, you're there for the long haul. Yeah, it was. You will get to a point. You'll develop your own technique on how you use it.
Yeah.
For your way. But I'm telling you, your life quality will go up from this.
I believe it. So I had a couple questions. Well, two questions.
Yeah.
If you don't mind sharing these details, what level are you guys at in the
So here's my tech. I start it just below half. Like, I'm kind of like a 40 percenter. And then at once, because it's the initial, like, stream that'll get you, right? That's the big shock. So I go that to start, and then once I'm acclimated, then I crank up the pressure a little bit, and I'd say I finish using it around like 60% or so.
Okay, all right, so you don't go full.
No,
right?
No.
60. Yeah. All right, mistakes made. Then that's fair.
Yeah.
What about you, Bear?
I'm a little wuss.
60% I think would tear my body in half.
Well, you got Megatron attached to your toilet, bro. What is going on?
Yeah, we had one of the basic ones installed, and I don't know who could ever tank that if that is cranked up all the way. Like, I think I tested that once, just on like the side cheek, because I was like, I just want to see how hard this hurts.
You receive, right, that's another that. Tech. You lean and receive like on the side a little bit.
Brilliant. Yeah. Okay, got it.
And
cool.
Then you settle into the spot, you know?
Alright, cool.
It felt like I was getting like pressure washed. Like, my skin was just getting like ripped off. And like, there's no way. Like, this is
actually
natural.
I do remember that now. Like, and it was partly because of the cold, but I got up thinking, not only that I'd been violated, but also that it actually hurt a little bit.
No, I know, it did any damage.
It was so cold and so much a bullseye. I was just like, actually, that hurt.
No, I know. I'm like, I think I did something bad to me.
And
like,
it could have been me doing it. I could have been hurting myself with a quick clench, you know. I don't know. But
no,
I remember the pain
side
just a little
receive,
bit.
The lean into settle is the tech.
That's big. That is huge. Okay, thank you.
I feel like I'm sorry that I should have told you this beforehand.
Yeah, that's okay.
But I feel like it would have also maybe intimidated you off of getting it. You know what I mean? Like, it is so worth it that I don't want to scare anyone off. If there's a bidet sponsor out there, by the way, we're your please. Show.
100%.
I am a bidet truther. They are a necessity in my daily life.
Yeah.
On the one we have right now, it's the lowest level, and on the one previous, it was like 20% to 40%.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. I'm gonna have to play with it some more. That doesn't sound like that. Anyway. And also, another way I described it was that, like, yeah, the first time it was tough, but it is kind of like an acquired taste, and I shouldn't even use that way to describe it either. But like beer, you know, like the first ever beer I had was like a warm Corona, you know, it wasn't good. Now beer is great, so I think I'll get there eventually. It is an acquired taste, for lack of a better term. Yeah.
Yes, but just like beer, you're gonna be craving it. You know, like it's the best.
Yeah, I use two bathrooms regularly in this house, and already I've found myself, you know, mostly for the mission of getting more used to it, but I've been going to the one bathroom. Yeah,
it's you can't go without it anymore, man. Like, you'll hit a point where you're like, I can't be clean without one. It just doesn't make any sense. Okay, yeah, let's go to the other random question of the week. Seafog wants to know, how many sharks could you fight at once?
What?
There's so many variables this question for it to be
anything. Yeah, what kind of shark?
Zero.
Like, okay, well, I just went to the aquarium with Calvin. There are some small sharks. Like, I could take a couple of those guys.
Yeah, I mean, baby sharks.
Yeah, bro, they're this big. I mean, like, they're as big as, like, you know, they're smaller than my shoulder width. Like, of course. Although, when you think about how you're gonna, like, punch in water, it's not gonna have a lot of
force. Well, I mean, how deep is this water?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
We had a water polo
if
unit
I can stomp,
in our gym class.
You know, I would hate to do that to a shark, but if I can stomp, my chances go up a little bit,
yeah,
at least.
Yeah, significantly. Although their skin is like sandpaper, you know, you can use it to...
True. Install a bidet,
but, you know, it's going to hurt your feet. We had a water polo unit in our high school gym class, public school, I swear. That is the hardest sport on earth, I swear to God.
Yeah, I believe it.
It is impossible because you can't touch.
Bragging to the shark before you beat him up.
No, I'm saying, bro, I need polo? Yo, see me in 4 foot depth. You know, like, see me where I can stay. Like, I'll meet you halfway, bro. I'm not asking you to come on land, but like, I'm not catching you where I gotta tread water the whole time. Like, I don't like my odds. I don't like my odds against anything in open water. But a full grown shark, zero. I might be able to escape it, but if it's me versus it to the death, I don't like my odds. I'm going to
see. Yeah, I've never fought a shark, and I've never fought anything in my life, so I'm going to go with a solid zero here. I don't think I could, like, the momentum, if I was underwater, there's no way I can do damage to that thing if I'm underwater.
No.
Like,
it's
no
so
shot.
Yeah, so it would be embarrassing.
Like, yeah, we came like, on your. You had all the advantage. Like,
yeah, even if it was just me and the shark, and I would be embarrassed that he was judging me or it.
Yeah.
Okay. What about if it was us three versus one shark?
Like, that might be worse, bro. Shark. What teamwork can we achieve?
Literally, for the first 20 seconds, and it's getting active during those 20 seconds. Us three are arguing who's the sacrifice because that one of us needs to be.
Yeah.
And it ain't gonna be me. So
no, I knew you were gonna say that, Ro, and I'm not gonna accept it. It's gotta be Barra.
What?
I'm glad we talked about this. It was a good talk, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. Designers against the players.
That's fine.
That's
as usual. Yeah.
Yep. As it always is. All right. And Timmy Two Shots asks, have you ever done a food challenge, like the one chip challenge, or at a restaurant, like man versus food style, something like that? Go ahead, Barra.
I've eaten more pizza than Destiny.
That was the challenge, was who can eat more pizza? You or your... How tall is Destiny?
5'3" and a half. That half is very important.
Your 5'3" and a half partner?
Uh-huh.
And you won, huh?
I did. It was really embarrassing for her.
Wow. Impressive. Me versus a baby shark in a baby pool, like in a kiddie pool. Got him. Ro, have you done any?
No, I mean, I've challenged myself sometimes, you know, like, oh, I spent this money, I gotta finish what's on my plate kind of thing, but and generally I win, or I'm challenging myself, so I always win and lose, I suppose, but no, outside of that, no, I haven't done any food challenges. I'm not a spicy food guy, so I'm not jumping at the bit to do some hot chip challenge. That doesn't sound fun to me.
No, that's not for me. I've had a very spicy hot sauce at a friend's house, and it was not worth it. But I'm not a huge spicy food guy either. My college, I had two roommates in college, my freshman and sophomore year, and they would get into arguments about who could eat more, and I would just watch, which is the best part. Like, participating in those challenges, never good. But just watching them, great. Like, I remember there was an all-you-can-eat tacos day at our Moe's in downtown Pittsburgh. And they went and both ate as many tacos as they could. And there was a big controversy on that one because one of my roommates got up to go number two in the bathroom halfway through. And that's kind of cheating, right?
Can't be making space. No,
no, you can't be making space. I don't think that's real. So he got disqualified from that. They're not small tacos at Moe's. They're pretty big. I think they each had like 15 or something like that. And then we went back to my dorm room, and my one roommate left for winter break, and the other one fell asleep. And I had to like check his breathing. He slept for so long. I was like concerned about him. That's sober, by the way. And then another time they argued who could eat 20 McNuggets faster. Caitlin, who got me the bidet, I think he ate 20 McNuggets in less than 3 minutes, which was a true feat.
I don't think I could do that.
That's pretty impressive.
And he put him to shame. So, no, I didn't participate in any of those things, but I enjoyed watching them because I didn't have to live with myself after eating 15 tacos or whatever it is, you know?
Does the cinnamon challenge count as one?
Oh, yeah, I did that.
I did not.
I did the saltine challenge.
Oh, that was fun.
The saltine challenge. Maybe I didn't do the cinnamon one. Maybe I just did the saltine one.
You just choke, right, in the cinnamon one?
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone never chokes.
yeah, I do be choking. I did the saltine challenge. I didn't do the gallon challenge where you like chug a gallon of milk because went to my high school did the gallon challenge and then became lactose intolerant from it. Am such a milk fan that I didn't want to become lactose intolerant. Joke's on me. That happens as you get older, no matter what, for some people. Not me, though. I'm still in denial. So they can't stop me from getting milk. Anyways.
It's like you're robbing the cows at night. Like,
yep, they can't stop me.
Going on your hands and knees just through the pasture, just like, give me those udders.
My house is very close to some cows. Like, I guess I could.
I'm sure it is.
If I wanted to, but that does not sound appealing. They'd have to go right into the bowl of cereal. It would be a hole.
Right in the Reese's Puffs.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not trying to get into that. All right, that's going to do it for this week. Ro, thanks so much for joining us. Congrats on the promotion. Well-deserved.
Thank you.
And excited to see what you cook up. We'll catch you next time. Again, Prize Picks was our sponsor for this week. Shout out to them. Use code Backliners to have your up to your first $100 deposit matched at prizepicks.com. So big shout out to them. Until next week, we'll see you next time. Until then, Barra, you know what to do.
Bye.
That was
very weak. Sorry. I've been up since 6 in the morning. I was tired.
I know.
There was a bubble in my throat.
You did the best you could. Yeah. That's all I can ask.